is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 22, and today we'll be talking about the risk of cerebral palsy, or CP, in premature infants. Before I get started, I want to ask you if you like my shows, if you would please leave a quick review for me on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever it is that you subscribe to the podcast. Reviews help move the show up higher in the searches, and it can make it easier for other people to find me as well. Okay, so the research study for today is called Respiratory Distress Syndrome in Moderately Late and Late Preterm Infants and Risk of Cerebral Palsy, a Population-Based Cohort Study. It's quite a long title. It was published in the British Medical Journal by a team of researchers out of Denmark. They compared medical records of 39,420 infants born between 32 and 36-week gestations between the years of 1997 and 2007. They added up the incidence of cerebral palsy before the age of 8 years old in infants with and without a diagnosis of infant respiratory distress syndrome, or IRDS. The study compared the infants with and without the diagnosis of IRDS to see if there was a higher risk of cerebral palsy in the infants with IRDS. Infant respiratory distress syndrome is a condition frequently seen in babies that are born premature. The earlier they are born, the higher the risk of the condition. It is caused by a lack of material called surfactant. Surfactant is produced by the fetus during development in the later stages of pregnancy. It is needed to help keep the air spaces open in infants' lungs and makes it easier to breathe once they are born. In the study, 2,255 of the infants were diagnosed with the infant respiratory distress syndrome. They looked at a variety of factors, including things like the infant's gender, the year of their birth, if they were twin or triplet or not, what their Apgar score was at 5 minutes after birth, and what the mother's age was. None of these factors had a significant variation that seemed to predict cerebral palsy. However, the diagnosis of infants with IRDS was found to indicate a higher rate of CP than those without the diagnosis. The most common subtype of CP was unilateral and bilateral spastic cerebral palsy, diagnosed by the age of 8 or before the end of the study in 2007. The researchers considered the fact that low gestational age is one of the strongest risk factors for cerebral palsy and infant respiratory distress syndrome, which is why the study only looked at babies who were born at a low gestational age. Even with this consideration, they discovered that babies who were born between 32 and 34 weeks gestation had a higher risk of cerebral palsy than babies that were born at 35 to 36 weeks gestation. Overall, the risk of CP was found to be twice as high in preterm infants with IRDS who were born between 32 and 36 weeks gestation, compared with infants without IRDS born during the same time frame. Now let's get more into the topic of preemies and cerebral palsy. Babies that are born before 37 weeks gestation are considered preterm or premature. Full-term gestation is 40 weeks, but really anything from 37 to 42 weeks is generally within the range of full-term. The lungs are one of the last things to develop in utero. So, when babies are born before the full term, they are at risk for being born with underdeveloped lungs. Before the baby is born, the lungs are filled with fluid. Of course, once they're born, the fluid moves out and they begin to breathe air through their lungs. One of the final stages of lung development in utero is where the material surfactant develops in the lungs. Surfactant helps keep the air sacs open in utero and at birth so that the airways don't collapse when the newborn starts to breathe air. In babies that are born early, the surfactant doesn't have a chance to fully develop and coat the lungs. This means that the preterm newborn, who doesn't have enough surfactant in their lungs, will have infant respiratory distress syndrome. The air sacs are not able to stay open to allow the newborn to get enough air into their lungs. Some symptoms of IRDS right after birth could be fast breathing and fast heart rate. Also, their skin could turn blue from potentially not having enough oxygen and for them trying so hard to breathe. The newborn will be placed on oxygen and given IV fluids right away. If this is not enough for them, they could be placed on a ventilator machine or a breathing tube to help them breathe. This can allow the infant's body to relax more while the machine does more or all of the breathing work for them. Once they are stronger, they will eventually be weaned off of the breathing machine to where they are breathing on their own. IRDS is the leading cause of death in preterm infants. When a newborn has infant respiratory distress syndrome, they could have too much carbon dioxide concentrations in their blood and apnea, which is where they stop breathing for periods of time that are longer than normal. Some other complications of IRDS include intracerebral hemorrhage, or ICH, and intraventricular hemorrhage, IVH. Hemorrhage is a fancy word for bleeding. So in these cases, it is where blood vessels in the brain break and cause damage to different areas in the brain. Blood vessels of newborns that are born preterm are not completely developed. Therefore, they are more fragile and are prone to breaking more easily. When the blood vessels in the brain break and there is damage to brain tissue or swelling in the brain, it can cause long-term issues. The intracerebral hemorrhage is a type of stroke where the blood vessel breaks and blood leaks into the brain tissue itself. Intraventricular hemorrhage is where the blood vessel breaks and blood leaks into the ventricles of the brain, which is where spinal fluid is produced. This is a very serious type of bleeding. They're both serious, but one of the complications from the intraventricular bleeding is cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy, or CP, is similar to a stroke in adults. In babies, the brain damage can happen while they're in utero, during birth, or immediately after birth. The most common type of cerebral palsy is called spastic CP. This is the one that was the most common in the research study from today as well. CP can affect either one side of the body, which is called unilateral, or both sides of the body, depending on where the damage happened in the brain. If it happens on both sides of the body, it's called bilateral. If it happened on both sides of the brain, then both sides of their body will be affected. If the damage is on one side of the brain, then only one side of the body will likely be affected. If there's damage on the left side of the brain, the right side of their body will be affected, and vice versa. What does it look like? In working with infants that are born prematurely, I often see tightness in their arms, legs, and their whole body, depending on the individual. Sometimes the tightness goes away as they grow, and usually is gone within the first 2 years of life. When we see this tightness or stiffness in their body, we can do specific stretches with them and work on positioning to help their bodies basically loosen up. If this tightness goes away by the time they're around 2 years old, they probably don't have cerebral palsy. However, if it continues past 2 years and beyond, they may end up with a diagnosis of cerebral palsy. Now, spastic CP consists of stiffness, tightness, and jerky movements in the child's body. It can make it very difficult for them to control their movements depending on the severity of the damage to their brain. One thing to note is that once the damage is done, it cannot be undone. However, babies' brains are still developing and growing, so they can learn to compensate for the damage to a certain degree. Other areas of the brain might end up helping out and taking over somewhat for the areas that were damaged. And also, it's important to know that the damage is not progressive. It does not continue to occur. One sign of cerebral palsy is where they would show a definite hand preference at an early age, like before the age of one. Hand preference doesn't become obvious until a few years later. So if they prefer to turn their head to one side and will use only one hand, this could be an early sign of CP. Another thing that could happen is that you might see some primitive reflexes hanging on longer than they should. For example, the asymmetric tonic neck reflex, or the ATNR, should integrate around 6 months of age. In babies with cerebral palsy, this reflex might continue well past the 6 months. This is the reflex where, when the baby is laying on their back and you turn their head to one side, their arm and leg on that side extend out straight to that side, and the opposite arm and leg flex or bend. Another reflex that can hang on longer than it should with cerebral palsy is the tonic labyrinthine reflex, or the TLR. This reflex is connected to the baby or child's head movement. When the baby's head is tipped forward, their body flexes and they pull their arms and legs up close to their body. This part of the reflex should integrate by around 4 months of age. The other piece of this reflex is when you tip their head backwards slightly, their arms and legs extend out or straighten out. This type of the TLR reflex slowly integrates from around 6 months up to 3 years as the next reflexes start to develop and take over. If this reflex continues longer than it should, it will affect their balance. Every time they move their head, they will activate the reflex, and it will make them potentially fall over or at least have a more difficult time staying upright. As a baby, it can make learning to crawl very difficult. Imagine them trying to push up on their hands and knees. Then when they lift their head up to look forward, the reflex could become active and make their arms and legs go out straight, so they can't hold their hands and knees crawling position. Also, if they keep their head facing down or bent down, their arms and legs will also be flexed or bent into their body, which would make it basically impossible to push up on their hands and knees as well. When these kids get to be school-aged, if the reflexes continue to affect them, you might see things like poor balance, or they could feel dizzy, like they're going to fall over when they move their head. They could also have problems with vision. They might walk on their toes or have stiff muscles or tightness in their arms and legs, which can make sitting in a chair at a desk very difficult. Or on the opposite side, they could have low muscle tone and become tired easily from working so hard to try and sit upright or stand up. Beyond the reflexes, though, babies with cerebral palsy who have tightness or tone in their body will benefit from physical therapy and occupational therapy early on. They are started on a daily routine that involves stretches and exercises to increase their range of motion in their arms and legs that are affected by the tone. Their parents are educated on how to do these stretches and exercises so they can continue to do them with them every day. Weight-bearing exercises like pushing up on their arms and hands while they're on their tummy can help in the beginning with increasing their awareness of their arms. By pushing their body weight up, it helps them become more aware of the arm that has been affected, and it can help build some strength as well. Beyond stretches, weight-bearing is an extremely important exercise for babies and children with CP. This can help them be more aware that the arm and leg is there, and once they're working on putting weight through their legs as well, like in a standing position or even in hands and knees position. Otherwise, they could basically, what it looks like is they're ignoring that arm and their leg. They may not think to use that side because of the damage in their brain, so they will automatically use the opposite arm and leg instead. We want to encourage the use of both sides as much as possible. This will only help them in the long run with becoming independent in activities as they grow and develop. They may not become proficient at using the arm and leg that are affected by the damage, but we don't know the extent of what they will be able to do from the beginning. You cannot predict what they will be able to do at the time they are born. So never give up on trying to have them do certain activities because they might surprise you by what they can actually do. Depending on the damage to their brain, two-handed activities and activities that involve both sides of the body working together can be difficult. However, these are extremely important activities to work on with them because the more of a connection between the sides of the brain they can make early on, the better they will do later. In addition to fine and gross motor skills, speech and language can be affected by cerebral palsy. Again, depending on where the damage was done in their brain by the bleeding. As an occupational therapist, I'm focused more on their abilities to use their hands together to do things, or making both sides of their body work together. This is very important for so many life skills, like, anything you do to take care of yourself. Many activities that involve feeding yourself, cooking, getting dressed, and all of the self-care activities that people do on a daily basis are much easier when you can use both hands together to get them done. Of course, so many people out there have learned to do these things using only one hand because of a stroke or some kind of an injury to one hand or arm. However, if we can get both hands to help out in at least some way, it can make things even easier. Again, in school-aged kids, their handwriting skills, scissor skills, and other desk work activities can be affected. If needed, there are ways to get these things done using only one hand. It is definitely appropriate to make accommodations so that kids who are affected by cerebral palsy can be successful in their life. That's all I have for today. Don't forget to go to my website, mymidwesttherapy.com, and look through my Amazon product reviews to see if there's anything that you might be able to use with your kids. Also, if you click on the links, it will take you to the regular Amazon website. Anything you decide to buy once you get there will give me a little kickback, which only helps me continue producing this show. I have added some items on there today that could be useful for kids with cerebral palsy as well. Thank you so much for listening.